You have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Book of Isaiah chapter 9, put your finger there. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 9 and Luke chapter 2. This is my favorite time of the year, Christmas season. It's all about the time we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus. But more than that, it gives me a chance to think about Jesus is coming again. And we in 2015 have that same responsibility that the prophets had of old, who were foretelling and prophesying that the Messiah is coming. A baby is going to be born. He's coming. God hasn't forgotten us. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, Emmanuel, is coming. Today we need to do the same thing. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. Only one said amen. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, you ought to jump up and say, hallelujah, my Savior is coming for me. We need to get excited about that. Do we even live our lives each and every day as if this could be the day that Jesus comes? The prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That was about 800 years prior to Luke's account in chapter 2. There, starting in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, talking to the shepherds that night, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When Jesus comes back again, are we going to be there to say, glory, hallelujah, he's come for me? Imagine a world where all the nations are at peace. Imagine there is no war, no threat of deadly terrorism or people shooting at clinics or churches. Imagine a world where politicians and government officials are honest and trustworthy public servants with no personal agendas. Imagine a world where the poor and most vulnerable are gently cared for. Hard to imagine in today's world, isn't it? In 1971, John Lennon, the late composer and singer with the Beatles, released his famous song entitled Imagine. It challenged his listeners to picture this kind of a world where no war was taking place, a world where no killings, no corruptions, no country's boundaries, and no greed. It was a world in that song of only peace, obtained through the brotherhood of mankind. However, Lennon's idealistic world lacked one critical thing in that song. It lacked God. Humanity cannot accomplish true peace without God, the Creator, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, Him and Him alone. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that through the acts of man alone, the world will gradually morph into this state of perfection and peace. I don't know if I get riled or tickled when you hear all these politicians and all the world leaders and even now the newscasters have this thought process of here's what it's going to take to have world peace. And not one of them will ever mention we need to turn back to God the Creator. We need to turn to His Son, Jesus Christ. The prophet said, here His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. The angels proclaimed that night He was born, peace on earth. Jesus is the catalyst, if you will. Jesus is the focal point, the center of us having world peace. And all of these people on TV and everywhere else who speak and want to have peace and doing it without Christ, it just ain't
going to happen. In fact, God's word says the opposite. As time continues to advance, wars will devastate our planet. Famine will lead to vast starvation. Economic woes will be everywhere, leading many to poverty and despair. And with all of that plaguing us, true peace will never, ever be obtainable. Even today's society, with all the amazing advancements in global technology and communication, the world is slipping into a state of helplessness and chaos. There are senseless killings in the news every day. Atrocities are occurring against people in every nation. Perversion and evil seem to be the norm. People everywhere are crying out, "Is there any hope?" My answer to you this morning is yes, there is. Yes, there is hope. Humanity's universal desire for this worldwide peace or this true justice or perfect righteousness will be realized at the return of Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. The prophet Isaiah spoke of that day when Israel's King Messiah will bring this long-lasting, sustainable peace to the earth. All of mankind will benefit from his righteousness and his justice. And the Bible says all of God's creation will be made new through Jesus Christ. Peace, the word peace, it's a true universal desire, having peace. The world is full of evildoers who may prefer mayhem and destruction, and the vast majority of people, though, still hold out for this hope of peace on earth. Yet despite our diplomats, all of our politicians, our religious leaders, treaties, negotiated settlements, we have made very little headway in establishing this world peace in the last 2,000 years. But that's going to change. When Jesus returns to earth, the world as we know it, the Bible says, will be in complete turmoil. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We didn't even get over the shooting at the Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado till the very next day there was a shooting in Texas. We didn't even get over that, and there was a shooting elsewhere. We didn't even get over that, and we found out someone got killed at one of the Black Friday sales because someone wanted that item bigger than the other person. Complete turmoil. The prophet Zechariah said immediately prior to the Messiah's arrival, all nations will be focused on destroying Israel. Can I just remind you about something? Our relationship right now with Israel as the United States is being strained and has been for the last few years. We have been Israel's strongest, closest ally since they became a nation in 1948. And recently, that relationship is strained. Corrupt leaders of all these nations are going to try to capture Jerusalem for themselves, just as other empires and rulers and kings have done so in the past. The prophet Zechariah, listen what he wrote in chapter 12. "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord God, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around them when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." The prophet Isaiah said in 9:6, when the King Messiah of Israel comes, he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Powerful titles, but they do not mean he will be a professional psychologist. In the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, those words mean extraordinary strategist, suggesting that the Messiah will be perfect in establishing and enacting military strategy against all of his enemies. Jesus' ability to quash the rebellion will produce the sustainable peace. The Bible speaks in Revelation 20 of a 1,000-year kingdom reign in which Satan will be bound and Jesus will reign in peace. Isaiah also called Jesus that Prince of Peace. World peace will come through Jesus. As King Jesus enacts that peace, economic stability will spread throughout the world. And when Messiah returns to the earth, the Bible says the battle will be over. The king will simply speak his words of victory. Look what John wrote in Revelation chapter 19. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite all the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads them on the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath his vesture and on his thigh a name written, I am the King of all kings, and I am the Lord of all lords. Jesus will enact this worldwide peace from his divine strength that's only found in him and him alone. I wish some of our world leaders would start talking about that. You want world peace? It's found upon God the Creator and His Son Jesus, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Also, when Jesus returns, His feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives there in Israel. Zechariah said in 14:4, and His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is next to Jerusalem on the east side. From there he may go that short distance to the eastern gate of the Temple Mount, where he'll reestablish that long collapsed throne of King David. How do I know that? Because Isaiah said it in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. God had promised, here's what he promised, that King Messiah will rule upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it, to establish it with his judgment and justice from that time forward, even when? Forever. Jesus' government. Jesus' government will be global. It will extend to all of his creation, just like David's throne was intended to do. The psalmist wrote in 72, verse 8 and 9, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Yea, all the kings of the world shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. In that day when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom, there'll be no party politics. In fact, the psalmist said, Jesus will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy. He will save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit or oppression and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Jesus will uphold the world's government on his shoulders. A government that will be invincible, inviolable, and incorruptible. It will hold the virtues of the law of God, which were designed to benefit everyone, and it will also enact and model Christ's own words when he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. That philosophy, Jesus' own words, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve you. And if I came to serve you, go and do therefore as you ought against and for others. That philosophy, that religious teaching of Jesus is counter-cultural and contrary to the understanding of our people of today and the people who have the power to rule. Folks, we live in a world that is all about me. Not me personally, but all about what can I get out of the world? What can the world do for me? We are in this world, it's all about me, instead of what can I do for the world? I get interesting. We get phone calls every now and then. People looking for a church. And their first question to me a lot of times is, what can your church do for me? And I have some good conversations with those kind of people. And I says, well, what are you looking for? And you get all kinds of answers. Well, we want a basketball program for our kids. Now we don't have that. Well, we would like a daycare for our kids. Well, I don't have that. Well, we want this, we want that. We would like for your church to do this and this and this. And most often, I don't answer that we even have what people are looking for. But I'll finish the conversation with this. By the way, if you come to Grace Baptist Church, I am the pastor. I want to know, what will you do for God's kingdom here at Grace? And usually it's silence. I'm not being harsh or critical of people. I try to get people to come to church. But Jesus says, hey, go and serve. Do something for the kingdom. What can I get out of it? Instead of, it should be, what can I do for Jesus? For you see, when Jesus returns, it will not be about us. It will be about all about Him. Do you understand? When Jesus returns, we will serve Him. We will worship Him. We will honor Him. We will glorify Him. And His rule, the government, the Bible says, will be upon His shoulder. We don't care who the president is. It doesn't matter at that time. We don't care who the world leaders are. It doesn't matter at that time. It doesn't matter because Jesus is the focal point. Him and Him alone will we serve and honor and glorify. When Jesus comes, He will enact peace. When Jesus comes again, He will uphold the government. In fact, He will be the government. And lastly, when Jesus comes, He will rule with justice and righteousness. There's that word again, righteousness. I just cannot get away from that word, no matter how hard I've been trying. We preached 7 sermons on righteousness. We had a couple more since then on righteousness. Here it is again. Understanding when Jesus comes back again, He is going to rule all the nations with justice and His righteousness. What does all that mean? Outside many of our courtrooms in our country, whether it's the county courts or the state courts or the federal courts or the Supreme Court, there stands a statue of what's called Lady Justice. She is blindfolded to represent her supposedly unbiased stance on all legal matters. With her arms stretched out wide, she displays her impartiality among the participants in the system. In one hand, she holds a set of scales, balancing the strength of a case's support against its challenger's arguments. And her other hand grips a sword, symbolizing imminent punishment for the guilty, thus carrying out justice. A justice that is supposed to be blind to money and power and identity. Some have said the Western system of justice is probably the best system that has ever been implemented since the world is known. But in many ways, it's still extremely flawed. Sometimes even Lady Justice lifts her blindfold to reveal her own bias. The best human attempts at justice are also limited because those who manage and uphold the system's virtues are still sinful, flawed human beings. You all know and can probably know of some examples. Over the years, there have been many judges who have been found guilty of corruption. Can I just share this hope of encouragement? Jesus, when He comes and acts as judge, will be that perfect judge. The perfect judge because He is sinless and He is flawless. He is the very Son of God. He is the one whom the Father promised to send to the Jewish people to be their Messiah. Writer of Proverbs 30 wrote this, "Who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell?" So the prophet came along. "I can tell. I can tell you this. Unto us a child will be born. Unto us a son will be given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father." That's who's coming. The prophet Micah wrote, "But thou, Bethlehem, though you are a little city among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, even into everlasting." That's the picture we see this morning. That baby boy, that baby that was born in Bethlehem, who was later slain as the Lamb of God to pay for the sins of this world, He will return, the Bible says, as the Lion of Judah. He will return to rule this world. He will need no blindfold to help him maintain impartiality. For the throne of David, Jesus will rule and judge this world with a perfect justice and a perfect righteousness. He will know the exact judgment necessary to govern his kingdom. He will know what it will take to keep peace in the world. A peace, can I remind you of this? A peace that will be a true peace. A peace that will need no peace treaties. Jesus will need, get this, he will need no arms disarmament agreements. He will need no ambassadors. He will need no programs. He will need no trade embargoes. He will need nothing more than his presence and voice as the Son of God, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. One day, citizens of Jesus' kingdom will enjoy a peace on earth unlike anything ever before experienced. The gracious love and mercy and kindness of that King will fill this world as the Messiah takes his rightful place on the throne of David. Understand what's happening around us? Israel, you're by yourself. ISIS, we want to take over everything. Syria and Iraq and Russia trying to figure out where do they play into this? And United States, where are we at in all of this? What is happening here is this. It's all shaping up. It's all shaping up. For very soon, Jesus will take his place on the throne of David. No one will have to worry about having a corrupt king or a ruler or a politician or a corrupt judge ever again, because the ruling scepter will be in the hand of Jesus Christ, whom the prophet said is wonderful and counselor, whom the prophet said he is the Prince of Peace, whom the angels declared, because Jesus Christ was born, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Even the prophet Daniel got into the writing when he said in chapter 7, verse 27, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions, all nations, all people shall serve and obey him. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in that dark, cold stable 2,000 years ago, he was born in the middle of the evil ruling Roman Empire. And yet on that night, the angel pronounced glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The past 2,000 years have been anything but peaceful. The past 6 weeks have been anything but peaceful. The past 3 days have been anything but peaceful. Evil and chaos, fighting has broken out in every part of the world. Thursday morning, we were watching the Thanksgiving parade together. I was at my mom's house, and I was amazed at how much coverage was given toward how many police officers are on the scene, how many people walking around, I mean, soldiers and officers with guns and snipers up on rooftops. And all of this was playing out, protecting against a terrorist attack with the Macy's Christmas Parade, of all things. And my mom made a very interesting comment. She said, do you remember the days we used to watch this and there wouldn't be a police officer anywhere, would there? Nope. Would there be sharpshooters out there? Nope. Do you remember the day when this was just so innocent? And now the coverage isn't so much on the floats, it's on where everybody is positioned, just in case some chaos or evil breaks out. Macy's parade. There appears to be no end to the mayhem in the world. A fella just shooting up a clinic. Churches are not immune. Church after church after church, people walking in, shoot the preacher. What for? Well, I'm just angry. What was the angel talking about? Those shepherds were in the middle of this evil Roman Empire, and these angels said, peace. What are they talking about? The angel was talking about that day when Jesus will reign on earth forever. For on that day there will be peace. And I believe that day is quickly approaching. And I believe this as your pastor, I believe that today could be the day that Jesus returns to the earth. Now I know the Bible says this, only the Father knows when that day will be, but I can be ready. I can't control what day that will be. I can't control the violence in the world, whether it's from ISIS or terrorists or deranged people shooting at clinics or churches. But I can control whether I am ready when Jesus returns. I can control my decision to follow Christ. I can control where I spend my eternity. And my prayer this morning is for all of us. Will you be ready when Jesus comes to reign with justice for all? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge who you are.